And Christian friends, grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the story of the prodigal son is probably one of the most familiar and beloved parables that Jesus taught. I love this story about the pastor telling the story to his confirmation class for the first time and telling how the young teenager got his inheritance early and went off into a far land and spent everything he had, and he was so poor and so hungry he didn't have anything left. He had to slop the pigs. And then he came home and his father welcomed him and he asked the class, well, what was the point of this parable? And the one kid piped up, never leave home without your credit card. Well, not exactly the message. But parables are those stories that drive home points. They're not always every aspect of it that we're to follow, but it has a main point. And in this parable, there are three main characters. The younger son, often called the prodigal son. There is the father, and then there is the elder son. And it's almost, this parable is almost like a three-act play. Each has a significant role in the message of the parable. And so it starts out with the younger son. He asks his father if he can have his inheritance early. Imagine if one of your kids would say, Mom, Dad, I want my inheritance now. As I said, this parable is not meant to be something we follow strictly. I am not inviting any of you to give your children their inheritance early. Not a good idea. And of course, it proves to be not a good idea in the parable. Although the father is generous to a fault, in fact, we'd call him an enabler by giving that money to his kids. So this is not the point of the text, but it just sets up the parable that here is this teenager rebellious who, by asking for his inheritance, is really saying to his dad, I wish you were dead. I mean, that's the equivalence of saying, give me my inheritance. You get your inheritance when your parents die. So to say, give it to me now, is just like saying, I just wish you were dead. I don't want anything to do with you. All I want is your money. And that the father gives him the money is just the first sign of incredible grace by the father. But he does what a teenager you would expect to do. He runs off. And he wastes his money in dissolute living, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. You know, he blows it all. And all of a sudden, when his money runs out, so do his friends. You know, when you got money to spend, it's amazing how many people will gather around you and be your best friends. But when you don't have the money, those friends are gone like that. And so he finds himself desperate. And in the story, he ends up feeding the pigs. Now, that's normally a dirty, disgusting job to begin with, but you have to remember, these are Jews. Pigs are unclean animals. So to be feeding pigs puts you beneath unclean animals. You can't get any lower than that in Jewish culture. Slopping pigs. And he says, I gladly would have eaten the pods that the pigs were eating. And then he says, I came to his senses. He realized the folly of his way. And so we always hope those rebellious teenagers, so often many of us have gone through those stories of our kids going through those rebellious years, and you say, hopefully they'll grow out of it. Hopefully they'll get that point where they come to their senses. And he does. But he doesn't assume that he's going to be welcomed back as a son. He says, maybe my father will just simply bring me back as a hired hand because I don't deserve to be recognized as a son again by what I did. Maybe he'll just let me work and earn my way back so that I can have something to eat. And so he practices this speech that he's going to say when he sees his father, you know, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be your son." He practices it and then he heads back home. And you can only imagine how anxious he was as he headed back home. And now the story shifts from the younger son to the father, the forgiving father. You know, I always like the modern day version of this. I've seen it on YouTube videos where, you know, the rebellious teenager has left and he writes a letter home and he says, "Mom and Dad, you know, I know I abused our relationship, but I'm going to be passing through town next week. And if you'll let me come home, put a candle in the window." And of course, as the son comes back the next week and he comes around the corner there, every light, every window's got candles. The mom and dad are standing at the door, anxious to have him back. And that's what it was for the prodigal son. Anxious to be coming back, not knowing if he'll even be a hired hand. And there his father is running out. And again, a cultural thing, you know, rich men did not run. That was not what you did. That was beneath a rich, wealthy person. And here he runs out to his son, gives him a hug, and then gives him the ring, a sign that you've now back in the family. It's not just a monetary thing, it's like a signet ring. You're back, you're part of the family again. The best robe that he's given to him. What an incredible story. And that really is the main point of this story, is that Father is our God. And just as that father was willing to forgive sins that most of us can't even think about, talking to your father in ways that you say you wish you were dead, and yet that father forgives him and welcomes him home, so it is that God treats us in the same way. You know, last week's sermon was on repentance, for us to quit making excuses, you know, and to live our lives for God. Today, it's just the opposite. It's receiving the forgiveness that God offers to us when we come to him. You know, yesterday in the men's breakfast, we talked about the Kairos ministry. And really, the kind of the high point of the whole weekend in Kairos is the telling of this parable. Because it's a parable, especially if you're a prisoner and you've been out away and you have so much against you, and will you be received? You know, if you come to a church, will the church welcome you as an ex-felon? If you come back home, will you be welcomed? It's a real issue for many of the prisoners. And one of the things we do is we hand each inmate a piece of rice paper. And on it, they either write people they need to forgive, or they write people that need to forgive them for what they've done in the past. You know, and I've, over the years that I've done Cairo, sometimes that piece of paper is just jam-filled with so many names that have been harboring. On the other hand, I've seen many paper where the only word on it is me. I need to forgive me, and they need to let go of that. And the amazing thing for the weekend is this kind of builds up to this point, and then they come forward to the altar, and there's a big bowl of water, and they put that piece of rice paper in, and it just dissolves. And there is just something about physically seeing this list of sins, this list of pain, just dissolve in front of your eyes, that most of the men end up weeping. And in prison, for you to weep in front of 40 other prisoners, that's a powerful thing. And yet almost all of the men come up there and they are weeping, letting go. You know, and that's what this parable is all about. You know, is to say God is there to forgive whatever it is we may have done. And just like that rice paper dissolves, when God forgives us, it's gone. You know, sometimes when we forgive, we remember and hold it over people. "Well, I forgive you, but that's not the way God. When God forgives, it's gone. And so it is. That's the main point of this parable, that we have a God who is forgiving when we will come home, when we will turn to him. God forgives. Now, many of you maybe remember the old story or the old radio program by Paul Harvey, and now the rest of the story. And so we now enter into the next important part of the story about the elder son. The elder son was not happy. This younger brother of his comes home and gets the royal treatment, gets the party given to him, and the words of elder sons, I know my eldest, my daughter, if she said it once, she said it 1,000 times growing up, it's not fair. It's not fair. And how many of us that are the older children think about how our parents coddled those younger children of ours? They got everything that we didn't get. It's not fair. And that's how the elder son felt. I always find the irony in this story that the elder son goes through this litany. I've always been there. I've never done anything wrong. I've never disobeyed you. And yet he's disobeying his father as he's giving this little lecture, because his father says, come in and celebrate. And he's saying, no. You know, the early part of the story, it's the young son that rejects the father. But in the later part of the story, it's the older son that rejects the father. I won't obey you, father. I won't go in. I won't forgive. And so now all of a sudden the tables are turned. And it's the prodigal son who has learned his lesson, who has asked for forgiveness and received it. And it's the elder son who was the good son who all of a sudden the relationship with his father is broken because he can't forgive. And that also is part of our story. Our relationship is with God is broken if we can't forgive, because that's who our Father is. And if we're going to live in relationship with our Father, who is the forgiving Father, he calls us, if you are going to be my son, then follow me. Be forgiving even as I have been forgiving to you. And that's the rest of the story. Not only the forgiving Father, but the forgiving children that we are called to be. And it's not an easy thing, and that's why Jesus tells parables like this, to encourage us when we hold on, when we are finding it difficult to forgive. The power to forgive is in the cross. The power to forgive is recognizing how much God has forgiven you. Because as long as you see yourself like that elder son saw himself, I've always been the good person. I've always obeyed the law. I'm a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen. And as long as you don't see yourself as in need of grace, you're not going to show grace. But when you look at the cross and you're reminded God has forgiven every one of my sins, and he did it by suffering on that cross for me, and he has forgiven me everything, in that relationship is the power then to forgive others. You know, I mentioned it last week, but still I was hoping to be able to show the video of the Monty Williams eulogy. And if you have a chance, go up on the internet and just type in Monty Williams eulogy. And it's about a 7-minute video that shows this coach talking at his wife's funeral. And it is such a powerful Christian witness. As this man, there are star basketball players all in the audience gathered around him, and he begins to share his faith. And he shares how nothing can separate him from the love of Christ. And he shares how Christ has forgiven him. And then he in the middle of it, he says, and I bear no ill will against this man who killed my wife. He says, that man, when he woke up in the morning, wasn't planning on killing my wife. He was careless, and he crossed the center line and took her life. But now he's the one in pain. He's the one bearing that guilt of killing somebody. And he said, I bear no ill will against him, and I ask you to pray for him. Not just pray for me and the loss of my wife, but pray for him, because he's got to live with that guilt, that knowledge that he took somebody else's life. Powerful, powerful video to watch. And he says again, and he wraps it all up, and he says, and the reason I can do this is because Christ is the foundation of my life. And he says, that's what we each need to do, is when he is the foundation of our life, when we remember the story of the prodigal son and God being the forgiving God and Christ dying on the cross for us, that becomes our identity. That becomes what is most important to us. And when that becomes what's most important to us, that becomes the power to forgive others as we have first been forgiven by God. And that is the rest of the story. So how will we respond to God's forgiveness? Will we be like that elder son? I've been a good person. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going to forgive. Or will we be like Monty Williams, who forgave even the man who took his wife's life? In the power of Christ, let us forgive one another. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you each week that we can look up and see that cross and know the depth of your love for us. And may that cross re-energize us each and every week. Having been forgiven, give us power, Lord, to forgive. It is hard. And thank you for Christian witnesses like Monty Williams and others who have found it in their hearts to forgive when others have hurt them deeply. And Lord, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, if any of us are harboring resentments, harboring ill will, harboring hard hearts, let us forgive. Let us remember your forgiveness to us. Lord, create in us a clean heart so that we might let go and forgive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.